Village of Dimmitt, southeastern corner of the Great Land, 665 PB.
Slow down, Michael said, clearly winded. I can barely keep up.
Michael's plea made Nara realize how fast she had been running, but she didn't want to stop. Perhaps she was repelled by the anticipation of tomorrow's ceremony, but although the climb often exhausted her, it was no challenge today. She wasn't even breathing hard. Upon reaching the top, they turned to look down upon the village. They stood far above Dimmitt, past the altitude where trees gave way to bushes and grasses. It had been months since they last ascended the mountain, but they had never run so fast. The fervor of the exertion served as a welcome break from the preparations for tomorrow's big event. Michael came up beside her, out of breath, and together they looked out over their village. She dared a glance at him, not wanting him to know her thoughts. He was dark-skinned, and she was pale. Tall and strong, his physique was muscular for a 16-year-old, and she imagined if someone saw them side by side, they would think them complete opposites. Next to him, she felt small and weak. Even though she was barely a year younger, he seemed far older, almost like an adult. A drizzle spread coolness across her warm skin, and an eagle passed slowly, sustained by rising air currents.
It's beautiful from here, Michael said,
still catching his breath as he looked upon the coastline, the boats, and the busy dock below. Yes, Nara responded, but so tiny. She turned to view the main coast of the great land to the north. It made this tiny island look even smaller, and she wondered what big world lay beyond her modest village. He turned to her. You're beautiful, his eyes seemed to say. She returned his admiring gaze and smiled briefly, then looked back to the village below. Nara didn't fit in with the other girls, and she wondered what Michael saw in her. She didn't look like the other girls either, with bright red hair that others often commented on. Few in Dimmitt wore nice clothing, but Nara's was among the rattiest of those her age. It bothered her, but at least it covered the scar on her back, the scar she could never see. She didn't fault her adoptive father for the lack of money. Few in Dimmitt had any wealth. Bilo was old, and his work as a laborer brought few coins, although he did the best that he could. But there were the headaches. If ever she felt set apart, broken, it was never more poignant than when she was in bed for hours, unable to move. She had always wondered why she had been afflicted with the pains, why nobody else suffered them as she did. Was Dei really that angry with her? But she felt no pain yet today, and that she could climb the mountain was a blessing. She sent a prayer of gratitude heavenward, even if he didn't care to hear it. At their first meeting, because she was so small, Michael mistook her to be younger than he. But they soon became great friends. They shared so much in common, their love of the wild, of animals, and of the sea. Over the years, after completing their school, church, or family duties, they would race across the island, up the hills or the mountain, picking berries or fishing. Sometimes they would spy on other villagers or build a raft and paddle around a cove. They had become inseparable.
What's the smile for? Michael asked.
I've never seen the village so busy, she answered. It seems so alive. Has it really been that long since the last ceremony?
3 years, he said.
The residents of Dimmitt appeared as tiny ants, and just as busy. They were setting up tables in the field outside the church, and Nara worried that her absence might soon be noticed. She had been assigned cooking and cleaning duties today, but Michael's challenge to race up the mountain just couldn't be passed up.
Biddy, are you worried? Michael asked. About the ceremony, I mean?
She smiled. It was an apt nickname. She was indeed small. He only used it in private, though, and never meant it to be an insult.
Not really.
Every few years, the announcement ceremony was supposed to bring great hope to the community, for magic and for wealth. Sadly, Dimmitt had not announced a gifted youth in many years. Yet villagers held out hope that one would come soon. She had heard many folks speaking this way in recent weeks, about how it had been so long since a gifted had been announced that it must happen this time, right? Perhaps their optimism was a blessing, hardy hearts that dwelled on the positive despite all evidence to the contrary. Or perhaps their hope was a survival strategy produced by spirits that couldn't bear to consider another 3 years of hunger. Another 3 years of abandonment by their god.